for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, September the 4th, 1999. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Colonel Speed Wilson, Marine retired, America's most decorated soldier of World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, is the speaker of the evening.
Right. Oh, great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't feed it, but that's appreciated. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that are assembled here, and I trust that go away wiser and understanding of the world situation as we depart. And right now we rebuke any spirit of fear and confusion and impart the spirit of peace, knowing that you are absolute control and nothing happens without your approval. And be with us, Lord. Now guide and direct us by the power of your Holy Spirit and the Lord of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I went through many titles for this, because you have to have something to put on the cassette, you know. I'd like to see some of the titles on Tommy's talks. great. And it came to me last night, sitting across the table from Annie, and we were talking. And it's in the scripture, and I didn't know exactly where, so I had to get a concordance to find it. And it's in 2 Timothy 3:1. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Not may come, but shall come. You can plan on it. But we're not to be ignorant of such things. As I point out in my teaching of knowing the times and seasons, the New Testament, God says 9 times, I would not have you ignorant. So if we want to be ignorant, it's by choice. It's not God's desire that you be ignorant. The Lord is looks favorable on knowledge. And we can gain knowledge. It takes effort. But wisdom comes from God. You can have knowledge and you can have understanding, but then what do you do with what you know and what you understand can only come through wisdom. And I love the phrase that says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he won't even call you stupid for asking. That's upbraid. I guess that's King James for stupid for asking. And, of course, we are to know the times and seasons. In fact, if you're interested, there's a tape here entitled Knowing the Times and Seasons. It's also on a video that we may talk about later that was given at the Prophecy Club. To show you we are to know is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it talks about the great day of the Lord, and it goes through a whole bunch. Then it says, but brethren, you are not to be ignorant of that day. It will not come upon you as a thief, because you are not in the darkness of the night. So therefore let us be sober and watch. Revelation 3:3 says, if you will not watch, I will come as a thief in the night. So maybe this is a wake-up call tonight. A little background as to why I feel so strong about it and why people wonder why I spend my retirement years doing this. And I even started it before I retired and was somewhat admonished for it. But I joined the Marines in 1942, right after the World War II started. And I retired 31 years later in 1973. And during that 31 years, I served in total of 12 named battles and campaigns. In other words, I have 12 battle stars. in three wars, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. In World War II, I was shot down three times. I guess the most memorable was the first time. To put it into context, that wasn't too unusual at that time. We weren't necessarily winning the war in 43. We were hoping to come. As you look back in history, it was sort of a turning point. We had gone to Guadalcanal. I got there after the fighting was over on Guadalcanal, except the Japanese would bomb the place every night. Then we moved up to a place called Bougainville, actually Vella La Vella and then Bougainville. We were trying to get close enough to a place called Rabaul, which was the Japanese Pearl Harbor for the whole South Pacific on a big island called New Britain, just across from New Guinea. Lots of water. And we knew it was going to be rough because we had photographs of the Rabaul Harbor, and we could see it would really be a rough one. And they had 8 airstrips in and around Rabaul to protect it. So he had a capability of some 300 or 400 fighter planes. I remember very vividly the day after Christmas, 1943. There were 28 of us ended up over the target, and we were met by an estimated 180 to 200. You know, they won't be still, so you can count them. It's a little difficult. But it was exciting. 5 weeks later, out of our 32 pilots, there were only 16 of us left. 16 killed in action. But we'd accounted for 86 Japanese planes shot down and a whole bunch of probables. Because in the Marine Corps, you can only claim an airplane when you have a witness to the fact that it blew up or crashed. There's another service that seemed to claim everything they shot at. But by the way, in passing, by the end of 1944, and you got to remember there's only one Marine pilot for every 20 other pilots, and at the end of 1944, of the 12 top fighter pilots, by the number of planes shot down, 7 were Marines. Wow. The reason for it? We didn't... If I didn't know better, I thought he was a Marine, but he's airborne Army. But the Marine pilots are sent overseas for 13 months. It didn't make any difference how many missions they flew. My first time, boy, I really got shot. The plane was really torn apart. Lost all the oil engine. I don't need to go through the details. They're important to me, but not to you. And I was able to get 40 or 50 miles from the target, from Rabaul, before the engine finally quit. And I crash-landed in the ocean. We always crash-landed if possible. The only time you'd bail out is when the airplane was on fire or out of control, because the parachutes usually wouldn't open. Well, as you know, down in the islands, we didn't have nylon in those days, so we had silk. And no way of repacking them, so they were all rotten. But you had to put it in the seat pack because you had a bucket that had to fill it with the parachute to be comfortable. So I put it in the water, but in the excitement, I forgot to lock my shoulder harness because there's some things in the cockpit and the Corsair there for you that you can't reach without the shoulder harness being unlocked. We didn't have inertia locks at that time. Boy, that was a long time ago. And so when I hit the water, my face ended up in the instrument panel. This eyelid was cut and hanging down, various other cuts and asunder. It couldn't breathe through the nose. It was completely smashed. And I could stick my tongue through my upper lip. And some other cuts and bruises down here. And I spent the next 3 days and 3 nights in that little rubber boat. Just big enough from a rear end, your feet stick out the other end. Now, people say, boy, the Pacific is big when you fly over it or on a ship. You ought to look at it from a little river boat. Boy, the days were long, but those nights were just endless. And, of course, had a signal mirror. And I would signal to every airplane came by. Got to see a lot of good air shows. The fight was going on. I could see it in the distance. But a transport saw my signal. He flew by it. I didn't know whether he saw it or not because he flew by going up to another island with his fighter escort. But he did see it and radioed my position. So midnight of the third night, a submarine surfaced and picked me up. Now, I didn't know whether it was an American submarine or a Japanese, but I was glad to see anybody. So, because I knew I'd had it. And I told God if he'd get me out of that mess, I'd go to church. I thought that was being a Christian. And so the submarine picked me up, and they stitched my eye up and put the bones out of the nose and some other things, and 10 days later I was back flying again. The next two times I didn't forget to lock the shoulder harness. Then in Korea, was shot down at 3:30 one morning. I was what they called a night fighter in those days. Now they call them all weather, which means that from sundown till sunup, or when the weather was so bad nobody else could fly, that's when we launched. And that's when the enemy gets busy. They were busy at night. They were busy in bad weather because they felt they could move without too much trouble. So we always had lots of targets. 3:30 one morning, flying the patrol up on the Yalu River. My turnaround point was, the Yalu River separates China from Korea. My turnaround point was 30 miles from Vladivostok. We didn't want to get too close to the Russian port of Vladivostok. And going back, I was on instruments, had been on instruments for a long time. It's solid, overcast. And up there above what turned out later the Chosin Reservoir, the rocks go up to 16,000 feet. So I was around 20. And there was an anti-aircraft burst from across the border in China. One hit in front, one behind, the other one hit right under me, as near as I could tell. Tore one engine off the airplane, and the other one was a slow fire was going. My radar operator, who sat immediately behind me, had lost his hand, his right hand at the wrist. And but he had stopped the bleeding with a piece of wire. And I was talking to a Navy destroyer. My radio still worked, thank God. And I asked him to get us to the nearest water, which I knew would be Wonsan Harbor. We had once been at Wonsan Harbor, but now the communists held it. By the way, we had the war won three times while I was out there, 1950 to 51, and each time we had it won, they'd get orders to blow up the ammunition and withdraw. But now I know why. But that was our first no-win war. And so I was able to land in Wonsan Harbor, and the weather was so bad I never saw the water, just let her right on down and got out and got Sergeant Lang out of the back seat and got him in his little rowboat, and I got in mine. And we skip it. But a destroyer then picked us up before the shore batteries could start shooting at us. And I was grounded, and because I was supposed to have quit flying after my 75th mission, and this was my 89th. And I'd seen what some of the aviators got for jobs when they're on the ground, and I'd rather get shot at than some of that. So, but they made me the provost marshal of Seoul, gave me 2,000 Marines to keep law and order and MP battalion up at Seoul. All my friends would laugh and say, "Hold speeds now, the sheriff of Seoul." And it was interesting. And but in Vietnam, interestingly, because of my record in World War II, I was promoted a year ahead of my contemporaries to major. And then I was promoted a year ahead of that group again to lieutenant colonel. So it ended up being embarrassing with some of the people that were in my classmates that they were in my command. But that was really their problem. And I'd have to admit that there were times I wish I hadn't stayed in the Marine Corps, particularly in sitting in a river boat. But I enjoyed it because I felt I was doing a service. Yes. For in Vietnam, I was chief of staff. of the amphibious forces. That's second in command. Interesting enough, General Kearney, the commanding general, had been evacuated from Vietnam. We were on board ship with malaria and dysentery, so I was actually running the show. And the 9th Marine Amphibious Brigade was an air ground team of 23,000 Marines. Boy, that's a lot of folks when you see them all on one place. But and we were hurting the enemy so badly, we were making 2 and 3 landings a month. See, we were picking the time and place. We weren't waiting till we were attacked. Our kill ratio, we were killing 20 to 25 communists for every one Marine we lost. Land base, it was about 10 to 1. They might not like that, but that's the way you keep score. And that's your purpose. And people say, well, how can you kill anybody? Well, if one of us has got to die and it's my decision, it ain't going to be me. And that's what I was paid for. As a result of that activity, I was awarded 27 combat medals, 12 battle stars that I mentioned, and 4 non-combat awards for duty in Washington and some achievements in the, don't need to get into that. But our greatest battle is now ahead of us. And that's the reason I'm here. And that's the reason I go all over the United States and Canada or anywhere else I'm asked to go. Funny thing, people call up and want to know if we come, and they said, what's your fee? I said, I don't have a fee. You just pay my expenses and whatever else you want. And, you know, drawing a good retirement pay makes you a little free to talk about what you want to talk about for not fear that the love offering is going to plummet through the deck. How do you think I could ever teach no rapture if I was defending on somebody? great. And since the founding of our beloved country as a sovereign, independent, Christian constitutional republic, and I emphasize that, it was a Christian constitutional republic, it's never been in any greater peril than it is right now. As a second lieutenant in the United States Marine Corps, I raised my hand before a lieutenant colonel and I took this oath. I solemnly swear to defend the Constitution of this United States against all enemies, foreign or domestic, so help me God. I didn't take it too serious at that time. I was just anxious to get on out to the war, and then when I got there, I wondered why. But I began to, when I became a major, and began to figure out what the communists were up to. And went around because when Eisenhower was president, he said that every major command should have a Cold War information officer. I'd been going around over the country to Rotary clubs and Lion clubs and everybody else and telling them what a lousy deal we had in Korea. And pointing out the dangers of communism. And it wasn't until 1968 that I found out that communism wasn't the enemy. The natural enemy. It was a group we now know as the New World Order conspiracy. They actually created and instituted communism with the communist powers in Russia and other places, and still do. So then I got interested. All enemies, foreign and domestic. Now your foreign enemies quite often are pretty obvious, such as Japan, Germany, Russia, China. But the domestic enemies, those that are among us, are a little more difficult. But when you understand the Constitution, you can identify them as to how they respect or treat the Constitution. It is foundational. The great philosopher Cicero, sometime back before the Lord was born, said this. You know, there's a lot of wisdom in the past, a lot more than we get today. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. A traitor does not appear to be a traitor. He works safely to undermine the foundations of a nation. He inflicts the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is far less to be feared. Put on some slides. Today, of course, being the fourth day of... Not on. What do I do? How's that? Okay. The reason I'm putting the date on this is because time is pretty short, and I wanted people to know that we weren't talking about it a week from now or after Y2K. The domestic and ambitious fools and traitors have now joined with the foreign enemies of our country, and therefore we are in a danger as never before in the history of this great nation since its founding 223 years ago. I can't disconnect. I'll get it. I like the home improvement t-shirt. Real men don't need instructions. Our domestic and ambitious fools, as Sutro called them, have joined with the foreign enemies to destroy our country as a sovereign nation. Therefore, this nation has never been in greater danger than it is since it was founded 223 years ago. To survive, we must identify our enemies, foreign and domestic, understand their mode of operation, never underestimate their abilities, and gain the offensive as soon as possible.
Amen.
Our domestic or internal enemies have been identified previously in our talk given right here. Understanding world events, and I would recommend you get it. And we're not going to cover that again because we laid the foundation. We talked about their origin, their objectives, their organizations, and their operations, and we named the key individuals in this New World Order conspiracy. Ambitious fools and traitors. The New World Order is certainly not new. In fact, there's an excellent book around here, The Guardians of the Grail. Take it all the way back to the year 1011, when the the Guardians of the Templar and the Masons and all that stuff. But the current one, well, I don't want to get off on that. The current conspiracy started the first day of May 1776. And it was recognized many, many years ago by world leaders. And these quotes are given on the one, Understanding World Events. Abraham Lincoln in 1863 identified it very clearly. Disraeli, Prime Minister of Britain, 1876, he identified it. Woodrow Wilson, 1917, who did a lot to forward it, but he repented before he died. And Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of Britain, 1945. J. Edgar Hoover, Director of FBI, 1954. And John F. Kennedy, President of the United States, 1963. He got the same reward Abraham Lincoln got. And we've covered that in previous talks. If we're interested tonight, I can tell you who did it and how they did it, because I held Oswald's records. But the United States no longer is the original Christian constitutional republic that its founders ever envisioned and created it by establishing the Constitution. America is now a socialist democracy. I want you to remember when I say socialist, socialist and Marxist is politically correct for communist. It's the same. They're synonymous. In Russia and other places, all the communists now call themselves social democrats. can't resist commenting about the Democrat Party. I will not call it the Democratic Party. It's no more Democratic than the Republican. It's a Democrat Party. In 1988, Gus Hall, chairman, Communist Party, United States, said for the first time in 10 years he would not be seeking, his name would no longer appear on the ballot along with Angela Davis for president and vice president of the United States, because he could find no difference between the Communist Party and the Democrat Party, and that he would now throw the support to Comrade Jesse Jackson. I don't see much difference between the Democrat and the Republican Party, frankly. And in the Christian Constitutional Republic, the individual states were sovereign, just as the counties were sovereign within the state and on up the line. And with the federal government, and this is in the Constitution, to provide only a common defense and an international representation. That's a War Department and a State Department, period. Where did we get all that other stuff that's in Washington? That's all that's supposed to be there. Did you ever notice that prior to 1948, we never lost a war? Because we had a War Department. Now we got a Defense Department, and we haven't won a war yet. You can't win wars on defense. You have to get on the offensive. The 10th Amendment to the Constitution says this: the powers not delegated specifically to the United States by this Constitution are reserved and retained to the states respectively and individual or the people. Don't ever forget the or the people. They simply practice common law. Common law is not complicated. It's accepted all over the world. Simply stated, you will do all you agree to do and be secure in your person and property. Departure from the Christian Constitutional Republic began with the Civil War, more accurately described as the war between the states, or as Pat Robertson calls it, the invasion from the north. But I was born and raised on a ranch out in West Texas, so the only war I knew about before World War II was our freedom from Mexico. It was a little shock to me to find out I was considered a rebel. But I do like grits. But and the pretense was to preserve the Union by violating the sovereignty of the individual states by armed force. Abraham Lincoln declared martial law, suspended the Constitution, and began the progression and concentration of all power into a central federal government. That process is greatly accelerated and increased by Franklin Delano Roosevelt during the Great Depression and World War II, and it continued today by the Supreme Court and the federal judge rulings. You know, to ask some governor who runs the state, he'll tell you, the federal judge. Franklin Delano Roosevelt started the socialist or communist programs. LBJ, I wish he'd come from somewhere besides Texas, but anyway, old LB came from Texas, expanded all these social programs with his so-called war on poverty. Well, we lost that war. Ever since the war on poverty, poverty has increased. Crime has increased. Taxes have increased. Government has increased. Freedom has decreased. The Social Security system. Boy, I don't want to get started on that. And the aid to dependent children. Boy, what a deal. You know, it actually pays for illegitimate children. I was so shocked after I retired in 1973. I stayed around Washington two more years as a consultant. And then we moved down into the center of the Appalachian Mountains. Beautiful country. I was shocked to hear two teenage girls talking. One of them had a baby in her arm. Turned out they were sisters. And the younger one was saying, sure like your apartment. I said, yeah, it's nice. And she lived rather well. And the other one says, and it turned out the one that had the baby didn't have a husband. And the little one says, I'm going to get me a kid too, and I'll get my apartment by myself. So 64% of the children born in Baltimore and Washington, D.C. are illegitimate. Whatever the government subsidizes, it becomes a surplus. Welfare and food stamps. Shocked the other day. Do you know that in Brooklyn, 82% of all the groceries sold in Brooklyn are sold on food stamps? In Brooklyn. Do you think those people are free? No, they're not free. They're just slaves on a great big plantation. The word democracy was never used by our founders of the Christian Constitutional Republic. They knew history, and they knew from that history that democracies were actually mob rule. And they always failed in a real human suffering. They could read such ancient writers as Tolstoy of Russia, Toynbee of England, and Tyler. I want you to look at the one that Tyler put, because all the others agreed on the same thing. And I'll read it for the tape. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves money from the treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates that promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the results that a democracy always collapses over loss of loose fiscal policy, followed by a dictatorship. The average age of world's greatest civilizations, that's democracies, has been only 200 years. These nations have progressed through the following sequence. Israel went through the same sequence. From bondage or slavery came spiritual faith, and from spiritual faith to great courage, and from courage to liberty, and from liberty to abundance, and from abundance to selfishness, and from selfishness to complacency, and from complacency to apathy, and from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back into slavery. You don't have to study that long to figure out where we are. Let the government do it. We're dependent upon the plantation managers to do what we think they ought to be doing. I'll leave that up there for you. Democracy was first used by President Woodrow Wilson in World War II to, quote, make the world safe for democracy. Thomas Jefferson said, I liked what John Kennedy said one time when he had all the brains, recognized smart people in the United States in the White House for a dinner. And he said, there's never been such intellectual individuals seated in this house, except probably when Tom Jefferson dined alone. I like Faulkner, you know, the Southern writer. He was invited to the White House one time by Kennedy, and he apparently didn't think too much of Kennedy. I didn't either until he was dead, and then I found out what he was trying to do. And he wrote back that it seemed like a long way to come just for something to eat. I guess you can do that. Thomas Jefferson said, to take wealth from those who have earned it and give it to those who have not earned it is robbery, whether it's done by a gun or by taxes. It's true. You destroy the desire to work because you can do it on welfare. And if you're working, you're getting half of it taken out of the pay to pay the people that aren't working. Or to subsidize your enemies, as we'll get to. To summarize that saying, I would say, he who robs Peter to pay Paul will always get Paul's vote. They're after total control.
Right. right.
Total control.
Right.
It's the objective of the New World Order conspiracy. Again, I would urge you to get the tape, Understanding World Events. Before leaving our domestic enemies, here is Clinton's latest contribution to the New World Order's World Without Borders. He continues to get his marching orders because last June the Bilderbergers met and said that Canada, the United States, and Mexico must become one nation. We've known that for some time.
I think that
got it all on there. The sad thing about this is the fellow that instituted the first phase, and the first phase was, as you can see, is to draw a line 62.5 miles either side of the Rio Grande and going all the way from Brownsville, Texas, all the way up to San Diego on the pretext of ecology. You're going to get a lot of things, ecology. In 1961, there was a meeting at Stone Mountain, and they recognized that it was going to have to be a while before they could convince the people that the peace had broken out. So during that lull time, they would substitute the plantation and its state of being as for ecology. And one of the prime ones, of course, is Al Gore, commonly referred to as Allegor. But, or the wooden Indian. But you can see that that would include, of course, San Diego, El Paso, and so on. But, just recently, that was called Border Region Number 20, or XXI, 21. But just recently, through executive order, all this is happening without any approval from the Congress. Executive orders and memoranda. It was extended on the United States side, not on the Mexican side, for 150 miles either side of the Rio Grande. So now that would include just short of Tucson and would just have San Antonio. No, it would include Phoenix and Tucson. And the little town of Truth and Consequences, nice aircraft identity radio there, and Los Angeles and San Antonio and Corpus Christi. Now that's quite a bite. I haven't seen it, but I have seen the first one, the license plate from New Mexico, because with the current student knowledge of geography, they have on their license plate New Mexico, USA. Like when college students out in Berkeley, they ask him where was the Pacific Ocean, and he didn't know. Where is Russia? He thought it was down around Panama somewhere. But that's deliberate too. So, forgot what I was talking about. I shouldn't digress like that. But they will continue to expand that. Oh, the Arizona. Some of the Arizona frames for plates now, there are so many Latinos, or whatever they prefer to be called, down there, that it now reads Arizona, Mexico. It was on CNN the other night. There's a town of 9,000 people on the Texas border down by the Rio Grande that have voted to make Mexican or Spanish the official language. I think a very funny one is San Diego sent a bill to the Mexican government for educating all of their citizens who are here on illegal immigrants. I wouldn't bet on collecting that one. Everybody forgets they're here illegally. By law, they're criminals. I started to say that Bill Richardson, who was a representative from New Mexico, started this thing. Now you can understand why Bill Richardson became ambassador of the United Nations and now the head of the Department of Energy.
Yes.
He's a conspirator. A friend of mine, Jim Thornton, almost beat him out for the record, but Goldwater in his latter years sort of, as the Japanese, Coco Bakutari. They wouldn't back him, so we got that. And that's his latest contribution to the world without borders. Now some of our foreign enemies, and there are many of them, and they're increasing daily. Thanks to Bill Clinton and his war crimes. And he is committing war crimes. I was shocked in 1961 when I went to hear a speech by a dear brother, Christian brother, Walter Judd, congressman from Wisconsin. He had been a medical missionary to China and was there when Mao Zedong overthrew the outfit. Came back, ran for it, and he said, "The Americans' consistent foreign policy has been to treat all of our friends as enemies and our enemies as friends."
Wow.
Just look back, and he's right. Now, he said that in 61. Then he went on to say, "You will see the day that you'll recognize that Russia and China will join together in the destruction of the United States and control the world." He said some other things that if I said them, you'd really know I was politically incorrect. But their objectives are certainly no secret.
Right.
I found out a lot of this when I was conducting seminars for the Marine Corps on the communist criminals conspiracy, and that tape is here too, a one-hour tape. In 1920, Lenin said, "Our purpose is the creation of a worldwide Soviet republic. First, we'll take Eastern Europe, then the masses of Asia. Then we will surround the United States. We'll take to the last stronghold of capitalism. We will not have to attack. It'll fall into our hands like a rotten fruit." If you think they gave up, this whole charade of perestroika and all that, they did that six times and it worked, so why quit it? Remember detente and coexistence and all that? Well, in 1987... our friend Gorbachev says this to the proletariat, to the Congress. "In 1917, we parted with the old world, rejecting it once and for all. We are moving toward a new world order, a world of communism, and we will never turn off of that road." Did you know that before he was also the big coup that got him out of the office and the great Democrat Yeltsin got in there? Yeltsin's a great man for democracy. Remember when the Congress there, the deed or whatever they call it, disagreed with him, he pulled the tanks up and killed 180 of them?
Yep.
Boy, that's democracy working for you. And now we go along, those are our friends. The coup in 1991, and it's a strange coup, because any other coup in Russia ended up with all the people that were thrown out being killed. But nobody got hurt in this one. In fact, now we know by testimony of a defector that it had all been planned some 6 or 8 months before it happened. The interesting thing is that 3 months before it happened, the Gorbachev Foundation was established at Presidio Island in California by the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation with $300 million. So he's over here supervising the things he's supposed to do. At the behest of a man I'm not in good relationships with today as a senator, John Warner, when I was director of the Marine Corps Reserve, he was a captain in the Marine Corps Reserve and he was Secretary of the Navy. But shortly after Gorbachev arrived here, that group, the Republican group, paid him $75,000 to come and address them. So I don't contribute to the Republican Party anymore. And told them so, and they keep sending me letters and all that sort of thing. And I don't tell them to quit. I just hope they're using up their money mailing junk mail. Sure. They ought to catch on after a while. When I get a telephone call, I just tell them, "I give directly to candidates today, and some of them are not members of the Republican Party. My choice for president is Patrick Buchanan." and his vice president would be either Watts or Keyes. Outstanding man. That would even beat Jesse Jackson. World War II actually started in 1931, and Japan actually invaded Manchuria. World War III actually started in 1943 when it was clear that Germany and Japan would lose the war. Their plan for victory is certainly not to be kept a secret either. They just keep going right on. Lenin said, 1920 actually, wrote, "The capitalists will contribute to their own death by hanging and actually bid for the sale of the rope." Boy, you think not? The United States Congress just approved most favored nation status for both of them. Most favored nation. They even favor them over this country. Patrick Buchanan, he says he's an America first. We take care of America first and let the others take what's left, if there's anything left. With both Russia and China. Now, hear me and hear me well. At least 50%, that's one half of all of Russia's production capability, is building new weapons of war to replace the old weapons of war that they're selling to other enemies of the government of the United States. They have nothing to sell or trade to the United States, so most favored nation for trade doesn't mean a lot there. So if they don't have any money or anything to trade us, we loan them, loan in quotes, $40 to $50 billion every year, actually bidding for the sale of the rope. China's slave labor productions are bought by the United States, actually destroying United States production companies, with an annual deficit, I get this, $70 to $80 billion. In other words, they got a $70 or $80 billion profit every year to buy weapons from Russia, which they do. Brought an aircraft carrier not too long ago. And, of course, to build up their whole operation. Now, this in spite of the fact that in Korea, the communists killed 48,000 Americans in 3 years. They killed 58,000 in 10 years in Vietnam. That's a total of 106,000 Americans killed in action by the communists. And we still give them most favored nation. I can't resist comment about Korea. Korea was a vicious war. I went out there when it first started. Left right after the peace talks started. If we'd had the same intensity in Vietnam that we had in Korea, we would have lost 107,000 Americans in Vietnam instead of the 58,000. The sad thing about Vietnam is that more have committed suicide since the war than were killed in the war. That is spiritual, and it's done by the monks and the witches and the people over in that area, and of course the dope that was supplied to them. In 1948, Joseph Stalin said, "America is like a healthy body." What a compliment. Its resistance is threefold: its morality, its patriotism, and its spiritual life. See, they understand us.
Yes.
We don't understand them. If we can undermine these three areas, she will fall into our hands like a rotten fruit. They seem to like that phrase quite a bit. Can you doubt their success? No one can. The rapid and accelerated destruction of our country started in 1962 when the Supreme Court took the prayer out of the government schools. I call them government schools because the public's got nothing to do with them. If you doubt that, buy the little book, To Pray or Not to Pray. All the statistics are there. The National Educational Association has supervised this destruction of we call it the Dumbed Down Program. The Humanist magazine just recently said, "So what if Johnny can't read? We got rid of that religious superstitions." That tells you what their objective was. Patriotism in the government schools always blames the United States for all the problems of the world, past and present. Morality? I don't even like to talk about it. There isn't any. The communist goals. I have to remember that these goals were enumerated a long time before 1963. But a dear brother put it in a book entitled The Naked Communist, Leon Skousen. And he was working for the CIA at that time. And so he listed 45 objectives of the communist. We're going to only look at 24 because the others are very clear. Done. You can find this in the Communist Record of January the 10th, 1963, remembering that the communists have been working on it a long time before 63. Number one. The U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Number two, U.S. willingness to capitulate, that is, always give in preference to engaging in an atomic war. Number three, develop the illusion that total disarmament of the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. You can win a moral battle and still be just as dead as a doornail. Four, permit free trade between all nations, regardless of their communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not the items could be used in war. Five, extension of long-term loans to Russia and its satellites. That's going on, most favored nation. Provide American aid to all nations, regardless of their communist denominations. I still have the cover page off of U.S. News and World Report many years back showing David Rockefeller, and it says, we can do business with any country regardless of their political affiliations. And grant Red China admission to the United Nations. That was accomplished. We kicked Free China out, you know, it is Taiwan today, and brought the others in. In fact, we don't even let Taiwan even be a member of the United Nations anymore. Israel is still a member, but they can't vote. Allow all Soviet satellites individual representation in the UN. You talk about packing the court. Promote the United Nations as the only hope of mankind. If its charter is ever rewritten, demand that it set up as a one-world government with its own independent armed force. First, I'd like for you to know who wrote the Charter of the United Nations. The chairman was Alger Hiss, who was later shown to be a card-bearing communist. And he had 14 or 13, there were 14 hardcore communists in the group and 34 trilateral commission members. That made up the United Nations Charter writers. You hear McCarthyism? Now we know McCarthy was wrong. There were about three times as many communists in the government as he ever estimated, because we got their names when the Poland people started giving it to us, including the great Larry Oppenheimer, who the Los Alamos Center is named after. It's named after a communist, and on down the line. But you'll still hear McCarthy. Of course, I knew that was going on, and was very irritated with the way he was treated. He was ruined. 10. Oh, and an independent armed force. They have it now.
Yes.
NATO. NATO, by its own charter, is a defensive force. Were they attacked by Yugoslavia? No. We were bombing civilians deliberately, which is forbidden by the Geneva Conventions of War. Why were we there? Clinton wanted to get his name out of the headlines. So there's the first war crimes of Clinton. Well, not the first. It was when he went after bin Laden and killed a lot of folks in Afghanistan. And when he went after a so-called chemical warfare outfit in Sudan, which turned out to be nothing, but he does kill a lot of people, which he calls collateral damage. And it's interesting now, the reason they want that, they plan ahead, you see. The reason they want the NATO to become the main force and then to be put under the United Nations is because by the charter, the chairman of the Security Council of the United Nations must always be a Russian. Now you know why we couldn't win the war in Korea or Vietnam. You can't win against the communists when the communists are controlling the war. Any idiot can know that. And to use the technical decision of courts to weaken basic American institutes by claiming that the activities violate civil rights. Number 11, get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and the current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of the Teachers Association. NEA is it.
Yes.
Put the party line into all the textbooks. Number 12, gain control of all the student newspapers. Number 13, use student riots to foment public protest against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Now this, you remember that in 68 and 69? And it'll come again. Infiltrate the news media and press. 15, gain control of the positions on radio, TV, motion pictures. 16, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell group was told to eliminate all good sculptor from all parks and buildings to be replaced by shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. Drive through your parks today and know who put them there. 17, control all art critics and directors of all art museums who plan to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art.
Right.
The National Endowments for the Art, you pay for it.
Yes.
18, eliminate the laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship.
Right.
And a violation of free speech and free press. But you don't have the freedom to pray or mention God in your schools.
Amen.
So much for free speech. Break down the culture standards of morality by promoting pornography, obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, healthy relationships. 21, infiltrate all the churches, replace revealed religion to social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the needs for intellectual maturity, which does not need a superstition for support. 22, eliminate prayer or any phase of religion expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principles of separation of church and state. The only place you find that in the Constitution is in the Russian Constitution. Here's what it says here. Amendment 1, number 1. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's very simple. You know what? You can read the Federalist Papers. Anybody just reading that know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
They didn't want to set up like the Anglican Church in England, or the Lutheran Church in Germany, or the Roman Catholic Church in Italy and Spain and other places. That's all that was about. Second Amendment's very interesting, too. This is the one they have to get out. That's to take your guns away. A well-regulated militia. Let's stop right there. Some of these people want you to tell you that means the National Guard. No such thing. You ought to read what James Monroe said when he was writing this, and they had to define their terms. He said a militia is everybody of age except a few government officials. So that's what a militia is in the terms of this writing. Being necessary for the security of a free state. and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed or interfered with in any way, and we have some 22,000 laws that do infringe. And they said if you just put a gun law out before that, you wouldn't have what happened out in Colorado. Well, Patrick Buchanan pointed out that that act out there and what happened violated 19 existing gun laws, and do you think adding one more would have stopped it?
No, absolutely not.
You can't beat the old redneck bumper sticker. Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Right.
In fact, more people are stabbed to death every year than are shot. You're going to get away with the meat cutting gun. That's stupid. That's not what they're after, though, because if they can get the guns, the rest of your rights have no meaning. Every country that's gone into a dictatorship had to have their guns removed first. Old redneck one once says, good gun control requires a firm grip. You like redneck jokes. You know you're a redneck when you do your Christmas shopping at the truck stop. Oh, I got it. I can't go without the bit that I was asked to three times. I don't think I'll be back because the last time I was at Princeton University, and about 500 students usually show up because they always bill me. It's come and hear what the radical religious right has to say. And the last one was come and hear what the radical religious right has to say about the New World Order conspiracy. Conspiracy in big words. And when I got through, a professor stood up and he said, Colonel Wilson, don't you resent being called a radical religious right? I said, no, I prefer that a whole lot better than radical atheistic left. He thought about that a minute, and then he thought he'd trick me. You know, I've been around Washington enough to know you don't answer what they want you to say. He said, well, who are the radical atheistic left? I said, easy. All those people that call me radical religious right. They identify themselves. Oh, then his next question was, what do you think about the Brady Bill? I said, it doesn't make a bit of difference what I think about the Brady Bill. He said, well, why not? And I quoted the Constitution for him. And I says, keep means they got it, a gun. Carry means they carried it. Is there something you don't understand about infringe? So if you want to quit carrying a gun, change the Constitution. Do away with the Second Amendment. Of course, they know they can't do that. They just nibble away at it.
Right.
It gets better as we go here. Discredit the American founding fathers, presenting them as self-styled aristocrats who had no concern for the common man.
Right.
Number 25. Support any socialistic movement to give central control over to any part of the cultural education so that social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, and all the others. So they want to control those. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Do you know they're confiscating kids and putting them into foster homes and taking old folks out of rest homes and take them to the psychiatric wards and all that, because, boy, the money comes out of the till almost three times as much if you're in a psychiatric ward than it was if you're in a normal nursing home. And treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but a psychiatrist can understand and treat. Like one that General Haynes used to tell us often, said, a Christian, a charismatic Christian, having a few problems, so his non-charismatic pastor told him he ought to seek some psychiatric help. So he went to the psychiatrist, and he found out the psychiatrist had a marriage problem, so he prayed with him and worked with him and solved his marriage problem. The next session, he found out the psychiatrist had an alcoholic problem, so He prayed with him, and they overcame the alcohol problem. Then he found out the psychiatrist had suicidal tendencies, but he ran out of money. Dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. I could tell you names that have been locked up for that. Ezra Pound, some time ago, was put in a psychiatric. Nothing wrong with him. He just knew what was going on. And 28, discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity, and easy divorce. Pat Robertson says for a woman to vote for no-fault divorce is like a turkey voting for Thanksgiving. Well, that's the good news. Now we get to the bad news. Just in case the rotten fruit has to be plucked by force, consider these. New World Order Clinton has cut the United States Armed Forces by 50% and has reduced the remaining 50% with homosexuals and women in combat with totally obsolete equipment. And the RAND Corporation, that's a big think tank out in California, y'all probably did some typing for them, finds that, quote, Russia's military to be the largest in the world. That's been true since 1972, thanks to Robert McNamara. And five times larger than the United States. China is now number two and growing fast. The United States is a very weak third one, and we have no strategic defense initiative. They're developing missiles, and Clinton continues to stop an anti-ballistic missile system because they have a ABM treaty with the United Soviet Socialist Republics, which don't exist anymore.
Right.
So it's like living by a contract to the dead man. But it does his. So we're left defenseless. Russia has an excellent program, and they probably will survive. Now, we knew that Russia and China were going to become major powers in the end time from Ezekiel 38 and 39. I just found out recently, I'd always wondered who Gog was. I knew who Magog was, the grandson of Noah and so forth. But in the Aramaic language, which was spoken throughout the Middle East at that time, G-O-G was China. And you'll find that in the Lamsa translation. And I have a tape on that also. It is Russia, the United States, and Israel in Bible prophecy. You might want to hear what a military man has to say about Ezekiel 38 and 39. And reading it like a military operation plan. As bad as all this is, the New World Order Clinton has made it much worse with his acts of war crimes. To detract attention from his acts of high crimes, misdemeanors, and treason. Treason is giving aid and comfort to an enemy. He has transferred neutron bomb technology and missile guidance system technology to China, either by selling it to them for money for the Democrat Party, or just out and out giving it to them. And I want you to know, too, that they got a lot of technology because Israel sold it to them. Clinton's war crimes, attacking Afghanistan, Sudan, Yugoslavia, covered that. This has united all the Islam nations, who some were just sort of neutral, along with Russia. I'd like to show you what that looks like on a map. Boy, it just gets worse and worse with what Clinton has done. He's antagonized many so-called neutrals. The Islams are quite a lot of folks. Yeah. There we go. You can see what a mass of territory that they control. They control a lot of oil and other things. And before I forget it, I want to bring up the point that you can't see it on here, but South Africa in 1994 became a communist nation. Why is that important? Because the United States depended on South Africa for 77 strategic minerals that we can't get anywhere else. We no longer have an industrial base, and we wouldn't have the materials to use it even if we had a base. It's all been transferred out. So you can see what a massive group that is that has actually, since the way he's been, his acts of war crimes against them has really ripped it up. So the Islam nations. Now, most interesting, we have a group called, sort of a funny name, Chaostian. Never heard of that country. No, it's a whole group of countries. Stan means the land of. Afghanistan, the land of Afghanis. Kurdistan, the land of the Kurds. There are 61 that make up this Chaostian. That is, that they're absolutely in chaos. Really in chaos. 61 of them. Well, that's not to show you how bad the chaos is there. They're somewhat like you have in Kosovo and the other places in the Balkans. They've been fighting each other for the last 300 years. You think you're going in there and get them all squared away? Like a silly show the other day was saying, you know, if those Jews and Arabs would just be good Christians, it'd be all right. That's better than the solution we got. How's that? There are 17 wars in Chaostian. And to make it even more impressive, look at this. That's the way it looks like on a map. Boy, for the good old days when we just had to worry about Russia. And Russia is arming all of those people that can afford to buy the weapons, and the others, they'll give them long-term financing just to get them going. And, of course, they all hate the United States government. Perilous times have indeed come. What do I expect to happen? Well, it's hard to say. Difficult. So let's take a shot at it. We know that they can't sustain this very long. That's how Reagan defeated them, because they can't compete on the long haul, because they just don't have the ability to do it if we don't support them. Now, if I were calling it for them on 1 January, the year 2000, Y2K, could be a real good time for a coordinated attack. That is, to have Russia move on the Middle East, a la Ezekiel 38, and, of course, Eastern Europe. And then China, now they'll coordinate because they got it going. China, of course, will take Taiwan. You can write that down. And Vietnam, possibly Indonesia. Did you know there's more oil off the coast of Indonesia than all the Middle East? Shell Oil Company. I'll run out of gas before I'll buy Shell or British Petroleum. Did you know that British Petroleum just brought the American Oil Company? Where are the antitrust people when you really need them? And, of course, North Korea will attack, of course, to continue China, Indonesia, Australia, New Zealand. And then North Korea, of course, will attack South Korea and probably hit Japan with some missiles. I think they'll try to neutralize the United States. I don't know whether they'll want to destroy us or not physically. They certainly have no moral compunctions against it. But as one man pointed out, if they destroy this country, who's going to feed them? But they can do it with neutron warheads on the missiles that we have taught them to use by what we call electromagnetic pulsing. How did we find out about EMP? Well, back when we were testing first out at Aniwetok, the one went off out there big, and 800 miles away, transformers in Hawaii began to explode on the post, and all the electricity was out for nearly a month somewhere around there. That's the first time we ever knew anything about electromagnetic pulsing. It just builds up such charges that it overcharges all those antenna, which all those wires are, and they just explode. It'll also fuse any computer circuitry. That means your car ain't going to run unless it was made back before 64 when it had a rotor head on it. Your computers won't work either. But it doesn't kill people. It doesn't destroy them. The missiles may be dead in their silos. We used to play all sorts of games in the Pentagon, which we jokingly called we called it one thing. It was Disneyland East. But anyway, so they could do that. But then again, May the 5th, the year 2000, is going to be an interesting time. Because nearly all the planets in our little area out here will be in alignment for the first time for 26,000 years. Probably will disrupt communications. Now, when will all this happen? You can go through some other scenarios too, but we don't have time for that. However, the book Bible Code. Everybody know what I'm talking about when I say Bible Code? How many don't understand Bible code, and we'll go through it very brief. Okay, briefly, and I do this to find out who the Antichrist is, Mr. 666, called Antichrist. The word Antichrist doesn't even appear in the book of Revelation. It's a spirit, 1st and 2nd John. But every letter in the Greek and Hebrew alphabet had a numerical equivalent. That's the only way they could do mathematics. They didn't have the Arabic system that we have. So, every word will have a numerical value. You can add it up. And every paragraph, you can add it up and get a sum total. In fact, I have a tape here entitled Bible Numerics, which we go briefly into this, proving that the Bible is the Word of God. But here's the way it looks in the Bible code. This is the way it looks. In print, you can get it out of your I got this out of an unabridged dictionary. The one on the left is the Greek, and the one over on the right is Hebrew. So you just assign numbers to them and go with it. You can add it up, and the individual that I thought was Mr. 666, his name will add up three different ways with that system. It also adds up in the Greek. So I know pretty well he is, and he fulfills all the other scriptures. So, you could buy the tape. It's the last one on the Prophecy Club video. I thought that was funny. The Prophecy Club wouldn't let, when I was teaching about end time deceptions, they would only let me teach on six of them. The seventh one, of course, is the biggest one, is rapture. But they're all members of the Assembly of God, so they wouldn't allow it. And they didn't realize that I'd already spoken at most of the places that I was telling who the Antichrist was, and they weren't supposed to be here. funny. But it's too late then, Charlie. They already, the tape's already out. But it's there on that video back there, and we'll mention it right now. It has knowing the times and seasons, also end time deceptions, and Mr. 666 alias Antichrist. And it's $15 along with some printouts of the visual aids so you can actually see what we're doing. But back to the Bible code. A man by the name of Grajan and another had been doing all the work, so they found that if they would write out the Bible text in the Hebrew with the numerical value substituted in, that they could take random spacing and really found some very interesting information. In fact, a year before it happened, they saw in the Bible code that Yitzhak Rabin was going to be killed.
Yes.
And after he was killed, they found the assassin's name immediately above it. But Rabin thought it was some kind of a hoax, and he didn't pay any attention, so he's dead now.
True.
And so that was very interesting. Now, in the Bible code, As I say, you can take every 10th letter or every 7th letter or anything you want and see what comes up on the computer. Now, the fellow had been doing it beforehand. He couldn't do that because he was doing it longhand. But with a computer, man, you can just really go great. So, in the Bible code associated with the word Armageddon, I hope you know that according to the Young's Concordance, and I assume Strong's is the same, I'd figured this out a long time ago, Armageddon's not a blood and guts battle. It's a spiritual thing. Read it in its context, frogs and snakes and all that sort of thing. It is a symbolic name for the scene of a great spiritual contest or battle. That's quoting Young's. And it only appears twice in the Bible, 2 Chronicles 35:22 and Revelation 16:16. And so the word Armageddon is closely associated with a period of time, 2002 and 2006. Very interesting. Of course, it didn't come up 2002 and 2006. It came up 5476 in the Hebrew calendar. Now then, also with the words, World War III came up with the same numbers, confirming our sister's vision. It is spiritual, but it's going to be manifest in the natural. Did you recognize that 2002 and 2007, it would include a 3.5-year period, as Revelation 11, verses 2 and 3? Well, let's talk about Y2K. We can tell you what I think. I think by Y2K may provide an excellent opportunity for New World Order Clinton to execute all of his executive orders, of which there are more than 280, and declare martial law. That'll be the end of the Constitution, and we will have completely fulfilled the historical cycle of democracies and end up as a dictatorship. How do you prepare for the Y2K? Well, you do need some food. You probably need some water. You either stored or able to pump it even when the electricity goes off. And if you can possibly do it, get away from large cities. And, of course, if you can, provide yourself with electricity, an alternate source. Remember, January the 1st comes in the wintertime. There will be riots. No welfare checks will arrive. A lot of other things. There will be riots. Some have said, real religiously and real spiritually, oh, don't worry, Father God will take care of me. When they say that, I say, do you carry some insurance, or do you lock the door to your house when you leave? They usually say, yes. I say, well, you'll trust the Lord to take care of your life, but you're still worried about your things and stuff. Don't you trust him enough to take care of that stuff? Totally inconsistent. And by the way, Jesus wouldn't jump off of the high tower. He says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But if you're going to trust him, you might as well start moving down the creek and get acquainted with the crows so they can bring you some food. But stored food can always be eaten later if nothing happens. So it's a win-win situation. Food is very important. A C. Bernardini, executive director of World Food of the United Nations, said in 1995, food's power. We use food to change behavior. In other words, we force people to do what we want to do by cutting their food off. Some may call this bribery, but we don't apologize for it. Hybrid seeds gave these international corporations a heavy control on food. But they've gone one better now. They got a genetically engineered seed, and if you keep that seed for the next season, it won't even sprout. And it has half the nutritional value of the other. We've never had such well-fed people and such undernourished people as we have in the United States. If you wonder why we're sick and so forth, in 1900, the average American ate 10 pounds of sugar a year. Now we eat 120 pounds of sugar per person. You'll have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Many people always want me to tell them what to do. I can't do that. a many-membered body, and what the Lord may be telling you to do is not what he's telling me to do. One dear brother that Dan would know some time ago said, well, Speed, wherever you and Ruth go, that's where we're going. I said, brother, you'll sure miss God if you do that. Because God may have a different plan for you. You got to remember, the whole name of the game is control. Absolute control. And, of course, for our nation, you just can't beat 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Glory to God. Do we have that Tommy's word?
Worship the Lord. It's time to cry out to the Lord. For yea, the day of the Lord you are facing, saith God. You're coming to that day, yea, the day of evil, the day of wickedness, the day of darkness and gloominess. But I, the Lord God, shall rise upon thee and within thee, saith the Lord. Yea, thou shalt not be taken by surprise. Thou shalt not go under, because thou shalt go over, saith God. I am with my people. I shall deliver thee. I shall help thee and undergird thee for this hour. Yea, I have raised you up for this hour, saith the Lord. So fear not, fret not. Yea, the day days ahead are evil, but I say to you, my light and power is coming to the church.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, be at peace.
Yeah.
People usually want to know a source for such information. The best and the least expensive that I know of is the Spotlight. It's a weekly tabloid newspaper out of Washington, D.C., and the government has tried repeatedly to put them out of business. Comes out every week, except they don't go on Christmas. $59. Probably you can get a 6 month subscription for about 24, something like that. Here's the number.
Sometimes they run a special for 39.
Yeah. But here's the number. 800-522-6292. And another one I recommend, a beautiful magazine, monthly, The New American. $39 a year, well worth it. You can call area code 414-749-3784. The Spotlight and the New American usually cover all the meetings of the conspiracy meetings. And they give you who they are and what they're doing. You'll never get that in the mainline news. And very, very good. I'm on the board of policy for the Spotlight. And I've written a couple of articles. I wrote one article. Well, don't need to learn that. I wrote an article 6 months before an event occurred. And if you really have some friends that think they're going to fly away, you might want to get this. Rapture, prophecy, or heresy. And if your friends don't like to read a whole lot, and they do, a lot of them don't, there are a few of these on the table, which is chapter 12 of the book. And I give 16 scriptures that says they ain't going. They need no interpretation, like Jesus praying, Father, I pray that you do not take the believers out of the world, or what's your interpretation of that? And I'll give $10,000 to anybody give me an equal number. An amazing thing, I've had that offer now for some 26 years. And nobody has ever submitted an attempt to collect.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.